Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. My co-host, Rhea, is on the line. How you doing, Rhea?
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. Good. I went to a funeral today of one of my ex-coworkers that I used to work with in the hospital. Her 20-year-old daughter was killed by a police officer who was married, but they had started a relationship a year ago or something like that, and he had gotten her pregnant, and she was taking him to court for child support. Now, he led a secret life, because his mother said, we don't know anything about this young lady. We don't know anything about her baby. She said, all we know about is his wife and, you know, the daughter he has with her. And to make a long story short, it was, you know, a very sad situation. That's one of the things I did today. And, so, you know, that's another show or whatever, because I did speak to Yvette. That's the girl I work with. And then my computer is crazy. So if anybody's in the chat room, I'll try to keep up with you, because Rhea's not on the in the chat room. But I'm going to try to keep up with you. But like I said, my computer's crazy, and I'm not ignoring anybody in the chat room. So we're going to get right on with the topic tonight. And the topic tonight is how to bring closure to a broken relationship. Is your relationship over but you can't let go? Do you find yourself going through the emotions of still being in the relationship? Do you want closure but don't know how to bring it about? Okay, I was in a relationship, and it took me a minute to really realize that, hey, let it go. So you know what I did? I threw a waiting to exhale party. I invited some of my girlfriends over, and I told them they could wear their pajamas or whatever. And I had three strippers there. Now, that was my way of beginning to get over this relationship. I'm serious, because, you know, you have to let go and just realize that, hey, this is it. It's over. Move on with your life. And, you know, it's just things that you can do to feed your mind, feed your body, feed your spirit, and get over it. You know, because sometimes you're out of a relationship, but you're still acting like you're in a relationship. You're still calling this guy up. You're still wanting to see him. You're accepting, you know, things from him, knowing that he's not really that interested in you. But some guys, they be nice, you know, because they don't want to hurt your feelings, quote, unquote. And so I just, you know, like I said, I started off, I had a waiting to exhale party. We had a ball. Do you hear me? We had a ball. And then the guy who I, you know, got out of the relationship with, he called me maybe about 3 months after that and was telling me that, you know, because I really didn't catch him cheating on me, but he had, because I had went to see him one day, and I noticed a car that was parked out front that I'd never seen out there before. He admitted later that it was a young lady in there. So what they was doing in there, I can't say. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I just take it from that point that something was going on, because he didn't open the door for me. So like I said, 3 months later, he calls me, you know, and I said to him, because I never said anything to him about it, you know, up until that point. And I said to him, I said, why didn't you open the door that day? He said, well, because somebody was in here, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, you know what? It's all good, because I'm done. I'm over. So then he comes with, well, me and that person, I thought that was going to be the person that I wanted to be with, but she didn't want me. And I'm calling to apologize for the way that I treated you. 3 months later, so I said to myself, accept the apology and still get on with your life. So I said, okay, no problem, you know, because if I had said, well, I don't forgive you, I still would have had that on my mind, thinking, but I really wanted to forget about him, get on with my life, and just, you know, say, you know, it was all good, you did it, and that's it. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to cry about it. It's over. So from that point on, I was like, you know, doing little things for myself, spending more time with my girlfriends, going to the movies, you know, just doing things for me at this point, you know, opposed to always, you know, being with him and worrying about what he was doing when we weren't together, you know. So, you know, people have different ways of bringing closure to a relationship. Mine was to basically to deal with myself, to get myself together, you know, so I could, you know, if I was going to be in another relationship, to have my eyes open, have my mind a little bit sharper. And, you know, when I see red flags go up, hey, take heed. So do you have anything to add to that, Rhea, how to bring a relationship to closure, a broken relationship to closure?
Well, I can't add a whole lot. I've only ever been in one, and that was my marriage. Mm-hmm. And I was married, but the person I was legally bound to wasn't. And it took me, okay, first of all, I do accept my part in that whole thing because it should have never been. Mm-hmm. And my mind, body, soul, spirit, everything told me not to marry him, but I did because I love this man. At any rate,
right.
I was married. He wasn't. He never acted like he was married. He never, you know, whatever. We were actually completely together for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was completely with him for 14 years. And then I spent like 5 years, almost 6 years, living in, well, I lived upstairs. He stayed downstairs with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still in that vicinity of each other. And I finally, the relationship, there was a lot of domestic violence. And
mm-hmm.
it was one thing for me to endure it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really started, when I saw it touching my children, it became another story. My way of ending it, I just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I left everything. I walked out the door. And I didn't plan on it. Now, I didn't plan on it. Years prior, I had planned to leave him. I had packed a suitcase. It was in the back of the closet. And I got quiet, and when I got quiet, he became suspicious, and he ended up finding the suitcase, and because he used to kind of like grab my child when I was trying to leave and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to leave my child there, and so that
right.
was his quote unquote weapon against me. But this particular time, in my heart, I knew it was over with. I was fighting with my vows because I did say, to death do us part, better or worse,
right.
for the whole gamut. And then I realized death did us part. The marriage was dead. There was
mm-hmm.
nothing else there. You can't breathe no life back into it. So I had actually went away to a conference with my job. The conference with my job was 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
I then turned around and took a 10-day trip to Boston, which was a pleasant trip. Just a pleasure trip with a church group because I just wanted to see Boston, and I had this chance to see it with a little bit. And there was an awakening when I was in Boston. And when I came back and it was time to, quote, unquote, go home, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister looked at me. And all the children are packed in the back of the car. I had four children at the time. Well,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I have four children. And they were all packed in the car and everything. And she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her over the top of this car because I couldn't get in the car. And tears
mm-hmm.
just are falling. And she just looked at me and she said, I ain't got no room for you all, but I have a living room floor, and you all can stay here as long as you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went back. Well, I went back. I went back 10 months later to attempt to get the rest of my belongings. But the gut of what I had was primarily gone, and then I packed everything up and put it in storage. But that was my walk. That was my. I just walked away because I know I still had feelings for this man. They were unresolved, but my feelings could not endanger the children. And so I can't tell you I did it for me. I did it because of them. But it wasn't planned. It just, I just ended it.
Wow. Well, I had also had some things because, you know, sometimes I may spend the night at his place or whatever, and I had some things that I had left there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had called me and told me to come and get them. And you know what I told him? I said, just put them in the trash. Just put them in the trash because, number one, I didn't want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, what I had left over there, I wasn't going to miss it because it had been over there for that length of time. So I just told him to put it in the trash. Because sometimes even, you know, things like that can bring up old memories and start you to thinking, you know, did I do the right thing? I really do love him. I want him back. You know, you have to let go. When a guy tells you it's over or he's cheated on you and he's with somebody else, that means he's moved on. So you have to do the same thing. You can't justify it by saying, well, I still love him, you know, which, you know, we do. We still love them, but you're hurting yourself by being there, you know, because he knows that if you accept a man cheating, he knows that's what he can do.
Yeah.
He's going to do that because he knows you're going to be there for him, you're going to always forgive him, and he's going to continue to do it. So nip it in the bud. And then being in an abusive relationship, sometimes it's hard to get away from that because if you don't have anywhere to go, you know, you either stay there or like you did, you move and you move with your sister, right?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Okay, you move with your sister and she says the only thing she had to offer was the floor. The floor is better than being abused. The floor is better than being, you know, in a place where you're not welcome, where you're not wanted, where you don't feel loved. So you did the right thing. You know, where you have women that will stay and they think everything is going to change. Well, he's going to stop doing this because he said it. If he says it 1,000 times and he's still doing it, you should have been gone. You know, there's that old 3 strikes, you're out. With me, it's 2 strikes, sometimes just 1. Because if a person is constantly doing the same thing over and over, you keep apologizing for the same thing, then there's not going to be any change. There's no change.
It's empty. Those words mean absolutely nothing. It's empty, and it gets to a point where when they say it, it angers you more than anything else. And I think if we really sit back, well, okay, let me speak for myself. If I really sit back and I think about that anger, it's resonating with me because I'm steady. You know, it's anger to what? Why are you steady, you know, going through this? Or why are you steady and you get to questioning yourself and start to questioning yourself about the things that you're doing that's prolonging or contributing or whatever the case may be? Well, it's a lot more simple with me now. No, I have not been into another relationship. I am on the brink of starting one right now, or exploring the possibilities. We're just talking now. And that's a big step for me because I do have trust issues now. But I just sit back and I look at the whole thing from this. I'm a very simple spoken. I'm a very simple person that's plain spoken. I have no patience for any other games or anything like that. You don't get number one chance with me.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have gotten to know me like that, they say you've gotten so hard because I used to give chances and things like that. My thing is this. We make our choices for the way we want to live. I am the one responsible for the quality of my life. And you know what? Once you've made your choices, own them. Because guess what? They're yours. And therefore, that's what you chose to do, go right ahead. But you're going to know up front who I am and where I stand at, and I'm just not going to, I just don't tolerate it, period.
So would you say that your husband had caused you to have these types of feelings now, or is that just your way of thinking for the next time you get into a relationship?
Well, first of all, I think it's the mature me. I'm not going to say it was caused by him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I can tell you that is a result of him, I may not know what I want, but I know for damn sure what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So I may can't tell you exactly what I want because I haven't experienced it yet.
Right.
Okay, but I can tell you what I don't want, and my don't want, I learned via him. And that's one of the things. Now, that's to mature me. And the reason I'm saying that is because when we got together, I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When we got married, I was 19. I had my first child at 18. I got married at 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know nobody but him. Didn't know nothing but what I saw or experienced with him. I was still a kid. So mm-hmm. I didn't know better. I didn't know right from wrong. I'm not giving myself
an excuse. Nothing to compare it to.
You know what I'm saying? I had nothing. I didn't really have life experiences in which to build on. And I was technically the oldest in our family because my older brother had a nervous breakdown and he's schizophrenic. So we were separated. And so of the children, I was, you know, the oldest in my family. So I didn't have nobody I could talk to. I didn't have examples that I saw before me. Everything I learned through stories that I read, through books and things such as that. So I grew into the woman that I am today. And those experiences, will I say that they contributed to the woman that I am today? Yes, I will. Because I can't deny them because they existed. But no, I can tell you he taught me what I don't want. My relationship with him taught me what I don't want, and my relationship also, at the end of it, when it was over, because I walked away in 1996. I walked away in 1995. I moved into my own place with just me and the children in 1996. That's why 96 is in my head. But I walked away in 95. But I didn't actually say bye to him in my heart and in my mind until 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I walked away, I didn't deal with the death of my marriage. I didn't grieve. I didn't deal with the end of this relationship or nothing else. And remember, this is something that I've known. This is the only thing that I've known for the last 24 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do anything. It just left. And he ended up going to jail. So he was out of my sphere. And I didn't even have to deal with him at all. When he got released in 2003, I did a complete turn. And I felt myself falling right back into the pit that I was in. But the one thing that kept me stable is that whatever I chose to get myself back into, I didn't have the right to infringe that on my children's life. So he never came to my home. He was never welcome in our home. If my children invited him here, then he would have been able to come here. They had wanted to have nothing to do with him. Therefore, he was not invited here. And that kept a separation there. And I talked with him and I met with him. And, you know, I felt myself falling all over again. And then, lo and behold, as always, it wasn't even a month. And we had only seen each other a handful of times in that month when that whole habit reared their head all over again. And that was such a smack in the face. It was like, I guess that was what it took to wake me up and say, you know what, I'm not living that way again. This is not what I want. And I was able to turn around and walk away from it and actually go through a grieving process, because most people don't realize there is a grieving process. That's why there needs to be time in between each relationship, because there's some healing that needs to take place, because 9 times out of 10, that relationship ended with some form of hurt. And if you don't get over that hurt and nurse that hurt and let that hurt dissipate, then you're going to carry that hurt on into your next relationship.
And
9 times out of 10, we end up exactly. That's where our baggage come in at, where we end up sabotaging our own relationships. So I did my grieving, and I did my, you know, and I can't tell you I went through this 7 stages of death, but I did go through at least 4 of them. And I could tell you, I remember them point blank period. And, you know, it's like, wow, because I didn't do the bartering with God, and I didn't do make the promises of this, that, and the other, but I went from the anger, from the hurt, from the, you know, regret, then almost falling back into, okay, do you want to just give it one more time? And like, no. And then when it was over with, it was over with. And so it took me about 2.5 months before I would even talk to him again. And he called a couple of times, and I didn't hear the call, but I at least listened to the messages. And then it was about 3 months before I actually talked to him. And when I actually talked to him, it was bland. It was stilted. But I was past all that. I was past what those feelings had evoked back up. And I can't tell you what a process is, but I can tell you this. I know there needs to be time in between the two. Like, some people think that you get over a relationship by getting into another one.
Right, that's true.
And I've heard
that's not good.
Exactly. I've heard that repeatedly. I've heard people have told me, you're never going to get over him until you get with somebody else, because
it doesn't work like that.
And the other. And I'm like, I can't take, okay, let me, my relationship was so psychologically and mentally had such a stronghold on me, nobody else in a relationship with me would have been safe. Because there was anger underlying everything else. I was angry at him. I was angry at me. I was angry at the hand I was dealt. I was, you know, there was anger.
Full of anger.
And
yeah,
the first time that man did something that I even probably, you know, thought might have been going that direction, God bless him. And the train he came in on, because I probably would have clowned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah. Mm-mm. So I knew I couldn't get into another one until I dealt with the feelings I had from that one. And I didn't set a time frame. I didn't push it. The one that I'm embarking on now, it just happened. And my first instinct was to shut it down and to run from it. And I just decided that, no, it's time. And I don't want to be by myself for the rest of my days.
Right.
And I know that I'm more grounded to the point where I can actually get into a relationship with someone, so we'll check it and see where it goes. But I know in my case, my biggest thing is I think that people have to give time for the healing to occur.
Right, because when you, just like you said, it was like a death. Your marriage was a death.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom died, and in any death or any trauma that you have, you know, it's best to heal yourself before you get involved in any type of relationship, because what happens is you take that baggage to that relationship. A person, they'll be sympathetic with you for a minute, because when my mom died, all I did was cry, 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 cry. I couldn't even talk on the phone without crying. And I know if I was in a relationship, a guy, he might accept it for a minute, but he's going to say, wait a minute, you're going to have to stop all that crying. So therefore, I was not in any relationships, you know, basically until I got myself together where I could talk, you know, to anybody. Because, you know, if I was talking on the phone to my sisters, brothers, anybody, I was crying because I missed my mother, and I just wasn't able to get over it as quickly as people thought that I was going to get over it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you don't need to be in any type of relationship. I mean, it's okay to have a friend or someone you may confide in or someone who wants you to cry on their shoulder. But when you're in a relationship with somebody, they don't want to accept your baggage.
No.
And I can understand that because a guy who I was involved with, he had lost his mom. Now, his mother, this boy, he could not even cook an egg. His mother basically did everything for him. He lived with his mom, so when his mom died, he had inherited the house.
Okay.
And, you know, he just didn't seem right after that. He did not seem right. So I basically backed off because he wasn't treating me well, you know, to the point that, you know, before his mom died. So I knew it was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give yourself time to heal. You have to give yourself time to understand that, you know, it's okay. It's all right to be by yourself at this particular time. You know, call, you know, you may find someone that you could confide in, but to be in a relationship during those times, it's not going to work.
I know I was having a conversation with this one young lady, and I told her, I said, why don't you just take a little while to revisit you? I said, why don't you sit back and look at you and see what you did that contributed to the state that relationship was in, and then maybe you can work on changing that part of you to make a better you. And she couldn't because she just felt that he was the one who did wrong. She made no contribution. And I told her, I said, there's always two parties. There's always two parties that own something, okay? Mm-hmm. If it's nothing more than the fact that you accepted it, okay? The first time somebody do something to you, that's your lesson.
Right.
That's where you learn from. But
right.
When you allow that person to repeatedly do that to you, that's a choice you're making to accept what they're giving you. That's your contribution if it's nothing else.
Right.
And she couldn't see that because she went from relationship to relationship. And the interesting thing, I swear, if you stacked all those men she was in those relationships was on top of each other, you had the same person.
Well, we have a caller
with the same type of person.
Right, we have a call. I'm going to bring this caller in. 334, are you there?
Hey, darling.
Hey, Miss Kane, how you doing? You have a question or a comment? I'm sure.
A comment, honey. I have y'all sound like two old bitties over here with the sand stuff. I'm like, oh, let me call and liven it up. Y'all know I had to call in and crack a funny. You know I had to. Yeah, ma'am. Yeah, ma'am.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me see here. I ain't break up. I'm a player, so you know what I'm saying? I don't do too much.
Okay,
I'll be serious.
I got a question for you. Were you always a player?
Pretty much. I've been playing games since I was two. Out the womb, hun, I was smacking.
You so silly.
I know it. I'm going to stop playing in a minute. But
the reason I asked you that is because sometimes it's something that happens especially when it comes to women. And I'm not saying always. But
mm-hmm.
it's something that happens that put us in that mindset of, oh, this ain't going to happen to me no more. I can do it just as hard as y'all can. I mean, you know, and that just becomes their mindset. I had a cousin who, when she broke up with her high school sweetheart, she became, quote, unquote, a playette. And that was her life's mission.
Well, for me, I guess it was seeing maybe early on, I would say way, way early on, you know, little high school stuff, but it wasn't even too much of that then. But I guess over the years as I grew up watching TV, family members, friends, and people that friend of a friend, other people's family, I just seen that that's not the type of person the type of stuff that I would want to go through. So it's not so much that I play games with dudes. It's just that I'm just kind of like, okay, hell, it's whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. I do, however, know what y'all talking about, because, like, when I was with my daughter's father, Lord have mercy, that we broke up, you know what I'm saying, maybe a couple times and got back together or whatever. But, I mean, I just, it kept, like, it got tiring. You see what I'm saying? Once you start cheating and you see how it's affecting that other person, I figured that it was no reason for me to stay with that person. So, to me, breakup is good. Now, the only issue that I would say that I done had as far as trying to move on from someone is, y'all know I talk about him all the time, dude that I was talking to from New Jersey. And it was, mm-hmm. we was never in a relationship, but I think we both established deep feelings for each other. And over the course of years, it's like we never knew how to leave each other alone. There would be time gaps where we went without messing with each other or seeing each other or whatever. But I don't know, something went off inside of me back in 2009. And, you don't want a full committed relationship, then you is no longer going to be living rent-free in my head or trying to come and be a factor in my life. So I had to move on from that, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, for women and men that's out there that's still trying to hold on to relationships and don't know how to deal with them, don't be sorry. Be careful. Don't make up excuses. If it's not a good, healthy situation to be in, don't be in it. It's just that simple. I know it's easier said than done. I know it is, because I went through that. I mean, oh, God. My brother shot to him because, you know, when me and old buddy from New Jersey, when he had stopped messing with me, and I was just upset. I was like, I don't know what's wrong, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I got to being typical female. But my brother, he talked to me, and it took me about 6 months before I was able to bounce back. And this was like in the beginning stages of when I first started messing with him. But now that I know, you know what I'm saying, as the years that went by, that was only because he knew he had fell too deep. And in order to not hurt me, he would just have rather left me alone. And that's what he did. But he gave me time enough to kind of somewhat, I would say somewhat, not really, but somewhat, to get myself together in order to be able to keep, I guess you could say, or continue on doing the little F games with him. And that's what I did for a while. Mm-hmm. Until I realized this ain't what I want no more.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? What you just said, I know with, because I talk more with females than I do with males. But mm-hmm. what you just said, that usually keep a, that'll keep a female there.
I used to smoke weed, girl. Take me. What's talking about?
No. What I'm saying is, when you continue to have sex with a man, now you all are not in a steady relationship. And
right.
in your head, and I'm saying in your head, you know that. But
mm-hmm.
you continue to do this part, and you can't break, quote unquote, can't break that connection, that'll keep a female there quicker than, definitely more than it'll keep a male there.
I think some women have to teach themselves. We all had to teach ourselves to be strong at some point. You see what I'm saying? Because men, like I tell men all the time, y'all can run in and out of a woman's life and mess up her mental way of thinking, mess up her whole atmosphere, everything. She can be successful with no kids. She can be someone that has a job, a nice job, an okay job, and got kids. You breaking up her foundation. Number one, you getting her caught up in all this emotional stuff, because you can go and start something with this woman and back out at any time. And when you back out, that leaves her to deal with all the emotions that came up out of that situation with you and her. And she still got to pay the bills. And if she's a mother, she still got to be a mother to her kids. And that, to me, that's the hardest thing that I would say, is to try to deal with a breakup with someone, or, you know, a marriage. I ain't never been married because I'm pimping right now. I'm going to get married, but hopefully. But I would say that would probably be the hardest thing, because you got to try to rebuild your self-esteem, number one, because, you know, your emotions have been tore down, and you got to try to rebuild who you are as a person in general and try to move on with the situation still while handling your business and taking care of your kids. Because you don't,
right.
I mean, for me, I never let my kids, and I don't want to ramble on too much, I never let, let me see. My son was young, so he wasn't paying no attention to that. He ain't know that. But even with my daughter, I never tried to let her see that emotional side of me. I just don't. I'm not the type of female. I don't try to get too emotional in front of my kids. I'm more like a dude when it comes down to stuff. I will hold something in until I can't hold it in no more. And I keep it. And even with that then, I still keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the problem with when a woman goes through a breakup is her emotions are more involved than a man. Because, see, a man, he could sleep with 10 women in the same night and go home to his wife and not even
that
excited about those other women. But if a woman sleeps with a man, she immediately, we just have these endorphins and these different emotions and feelings that come up. You know, that's just because. But, you know, it's really, I think it's harder on women when they go through breakups, even though some men, they have a hard time, but they mask it, they hide it, they don't want nobody to know that, yeah, she broke my heart. So that's when he goes
mm-hmm.
and he gets in another relationship, you know, and mm-hmm. he's just taking baggage from one relationship to another. Men will jump in and out of relationships quicker, I think, than women, than some
Not-
women.
Not next week, but the week after. And Rhea, you can feel free to join us, because I'm going to be talking about that. I think it's time for me to go ham on these dudes again about men and their ego problems. You know, we just recently had a shootout down here where I stayed, not
mm-hmm.
in the same area because I'm off from the city, but another little, it's like another place that's off from the city as well. I guess these two people was going through a divorce, man and wife. The husband shows up at 3:00 in the freaking morning, hold his woman at gunpoint. Well, she managed to get a gun or whatever, and he shot her in the neck, in the arm, and in the head. The Lord was with her, but she was able to get off a couple rounds at him. I'm talking about they in this house just shooting it out with each other, but she killed him. And I think that's crazy that when, you know what I'm saying, because, like, I got a friend, and mom dudes know, and I'm going to put this out here. I ain't going to say the fool name, but I know this nigga is crazy. He
mm-hmm.
look crazy. He fine, but he look crazy. And I just know that, you know what I'm saying, I got to be careful with giving him this nugget. Because, honey, I don't need no problems, and I ain't got time because it'll be either you kill me or I kill you, one or the other. So, you know, sometimes women, we do like playing with danger a little bit, but you never know when you in these relationships with these dudes. They can come off as loving, kind, and caring,
yeah.
And you think that, you know, maybe, okay, well, if I don't want to be with him no more, he'll just walk away. A lot of dudes don't walk away. I went to school with a guy, and I knew way back when, that he was crazy. When we was in middle school, he was crazy. And
mm-hmm.
come to find out, we get grown. I say this happened about maybe 3-4 years ago, if I can remember. I used to smoke weed, so, you know, some things be a little cloudy. But he hired a private investigator and tracked down his child's mother. And this girl worked for, like, the DHR system. She had a nice job, you know what I'm saying, doing a
mm-hmm.
thing or whatever. And she moved from the Dothan area to the Atlanta area. Well,
mm-hmm.
like I said, he hired a private eye. The private eye tracked her down. He went and found her. You see what I'm saying? Well, met up with her. And now their son is in the car with him. And just because he don't want to let go, ain't no telling what he was doing. He might have been beating her. You see what I'm saying? And he blowed her brains out and then pulled the trigger and blowed his brains out. And there go this child sitting here witnessing this. And see, that's crazy. You got to learn how to let go of some things. And
yep.
I could go on with, stories. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what kills me about that? What kills me about what you just said, and this is general that I've seen in men in general, they can do what they think. That you talk about that ego thing. First
uh-huh.
of all, women have egos too. Because I know
mm-hmm.
I got a hell of an ego.
We just
know how to check ours better. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they can do all this stuff, and they can do all this, that, and the other. And then the first time you done did something wrong to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're not even scared of it. Like, where did they hold it?
I was just telling my friend that. I said, I don't know why niggas think they can go out here, because my friend made a... This is why I know the nigga borderline damn crazy. Because he going to tell me, talking about, yeah, you go out and stay out. You know what I'm saying? I'm with a female. She go out, stay out at 6 o'clock to 2:30 in the morning, whatever, whatever. But just know that I'm going to get even. What is you getting even about? What is that? Are you serious?
That's what I'm just talking about.
So that lets me know he's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I'm
just saying. I told this guy I work with, he is a huge hoe. I mean, he just, and I just looked, he said, I just can't. And I just looked at him. And I said, okay, but he was in love with this woman that he was living with. And this, that, and the other. I said, so if she leaves and don't come back and she stay out all night long, oh, somebody going to die. What the?
What?
But it's not right for him to do it.
Look, his ass is crazy, too. He beyond crazy.
Exactly.
See, that's the whole thing. Right, that's the whole thing. Men think that they can do these things because they're men. You know, just like they feel that they can sleep with 100 women and it's okay. I just got a notch in my belt. But if a woman sleeps with 100 men, she's a hoe. But see, that's not true in my book.
I call it experiment.
If I sleep with 100 women and I'm a whore, I mean 100 men, I'm a whore. You sleep with 100 women, you're a whore. You know, there's no difference.
I told them what they call it. One of the pages that I'm on Facebook, they said man whore. I said, look, let me tell you something. Whore is a whore. Male or female. You ain't got to put man or female in front of that. And they said, so the woman is here. I said, she's out here doing her thing and taking care of herself and staying healthy. More power to her. I said,
and I'm
going to
get. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that was it. I was just saying, don't put man in front of it. A whore is a whore. I don't care whether it's male or female. You always try to distinguish that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know what? Like me and Mom Deuce were talking about someone earlier today. Men like to try to play this hard role all the time. Like I done dealt with all types. You see what I'm saying? They want to be too smart. The old corporate fool. You feel me? The thugs. Mm. Even the ones that just feel like, you know, I'm finna be out here. I'm out here on these streets, shorty. All of them. I done dealt with them all. And I had a homeboy one time, to make a long story short, this nigga wasn't nothing but a hoe. He pursued me like when we was in school and, you know, when we got out of school, we ran into each other a couple times and he still wanted to try to holler at me or whatever. But he messed around and got with this girl. And mind you, like I said, he had been such a big whore. Hey, I ain't going to say just big, but he had a lot of freak in a way he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He messed around, he got with this chick. And I don't know if she put the whipple pill on his tail, but baby, listen, that nigga ended up killing himself because I guess he found out she was cheating. Hell, if you were cheating on her, you see what I'm saying? And that's something else Mom does with the breakup stuff. These men would rather die than to see a woman with someone else, or they would rather die before they sit around and hear about her being with someone else. And I think with that, men, y'all need to get it together. You see what I'm saying? Because if women, we might call Betty on the phone and talk to Betty ass 10 years straight about this breakup with this nigga. But guess what? We going to deal with it, and we going to move on. And that's what y'all should do, too.
Yep. And see, men can't, because I know this young lady here, her husband, they had broken up. They had a daughter together. And they was in the relationship was abusive, and she had went and got a restraining order on her. The judge got to tell her that, you know, don't need to do that, and all sorts kind of stuff. So he goes into her job, throws some gasoline on her, and sets her on fire.
I seen it.
Yeah, Yvette Cave. She lived out here in Maryland. But, you know, my thing is this. The judge, I think he either got fired or he stepped down or something. But a restraining order is not going to really do that much. It's just a piece of paper. But, you know, you have to keep track of those things. So when they go to court or whatever, you know, you have that to say. But he's locked up. And he's crazy. Because you're going to set somebody on fire because they don't want to be with you anymore because you're abusing them, you know. It wasn't like she just woke up one morning and said, I don't want to be with you anymore. She just got tired of being abused. Women get tired of being abused physically, mentally, and, you know, you just can take with so much. So he just says to himself, well, if I can't have you, nobody else is going to have you. He set her on fire, and he's not the first one that had did that. You know, right after that, it just seemed like these men were just copycatting what he did, because a couple of weeks later, you hear another man set a woman on fire, you know, and just doing all kind of horrible things to women because they don't want to let go.
We went through a period like that in Chicago where I promise you every day for about almost at least a good 3 weeks, some man that has stalked the female got, you know, the female got out or whatever, and he killed her. And it's like, I mean, every day just about for almost 3 weeks, it's like, what don't y'all see? And the first thing they tell the female is, we can't stop. As long as he's not touching you, we can't do anything. But the man is standing across my house, across the street from, you can't do nothing. Okay. I just lost
my
damn mind.
Stuff like it.
I'll stop him.
Oh, I mean, it's crazy that it has to be like that.
I had a pot of water in my hand that went in that car window. I bet you won't be parked across my. I just don't get it. And that's another thing that with me, that added to the trepidation and what was going on with me, because I'm like, I don't have patience for stuff like that. I just don't believe in it. When it's over, it's over with. You gonna tell me I can't walk away?
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. That's how it is, because men, they can't take it. After all the dirt they do to us women, cheating, lying, you know, abuse and all this old kind of stuff, as soon as you say, well, okay, it's over, I'm out of here, they can't and will not accept the fact that you're gone.
And so
they just say, well, oh, okay, so you leaving me? I can't have you, nobody else will.
And look here. I told my daughter's father when we was going through stuff back then, I said, let me tell you something. If you think you need to kill me, you better go see some counselor right now, because look here, nigga. And he never even mentioned anything about that, but I knew he was hurt. You see what I'm saying? For what I had done. But it wasn't like I wasn't telling you. You see what I'm saying? We spent years together where we was miserable, where I was. And I just couldn't keep living like that no more. If I got to cheat on you, then I don't need to be with you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I kept telling him, look, I don't want to be in this relationship no more. I just don't. Let's work it out. Every time we try to work it out, more like 2-3 weeks later, we back at damn square one. So it's like, okay, why even keep on trying to be with this dude? Just get out here and be by yourself. It is really hard nowadays to try to find someone who is genuinely a good dude and going to be a good person. You see what I'm saying? Because I feel like sometimes maybe I might be overboard with my standards, but hell, my standards ain't like they just too much to bear. I think they just regular standards. Hell, good job, big thing, eat some coochie good, you know, and know how to treat me. And let's go some places and do some things. I just don't want a typical man or somebody that's average that I know, because my mind, Lord have mercy, I grow very, it don't take much to bore me. You see what I'm saying? I can be listening at something 1 minute, somebody talking about something, and the next thing I know, my mind is crosstown. And see, that's what I need. So therefore, I try not to even deal. And I was in a little relationship with somebody else who was kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do this, and we ain't going to break up. Yes, you is. He left him one morning. I swear to God, I laughed so hard. He going to tie and try to walk back to his mama house. She stayed 35 damn miles or 40 miles from where I stayed. So if you want to walk your ass on, walk on, brother. But I bet you by the time he got down that damn street and he seen that was too much, he came back and he had a change of heart. Well, I'm just saying, if that's what you want to do, then I guess I ain't got no choice. But you right. You sure don't.
Yep. So, you know, I just think that, you know, to get off, to get healing from a broken relationship, you got to look at yourself, step back, take inventory on yourself, deal with yourself, And then, you know, if you want to talk to this person about bringing closure, do that. But, you know, to badger and beat yourself up, don't do that. Don't
you know,
do
that's another thing that I don't agree with. They say, well, I just need closure. You may not never get closure.
So won't.
You may, 9 times out of 10, if you really look at them, there's no closure. Because you still, one person is still holding on. Just walk away
right.
from it. And then,
right,
he,
that's what
I,
you have to do
gotta,
sometimes.
He got to tell me why. He got, no, he don't. And, I mean, don't even psych yourself out to trying to hold on to that. I just want to discuss and what's he wrong, what went wrong. Okay, you were in that relationship, just want to keep what he was. Go through your memories, find what you think was wrong, and work on that. You don't need him for that.
Yeah.
Because
some of them don't know how to do that, though.
Exactly, exactly. And sometimes when you, that one little line, I just want to close you or whatever, give that other person, quote unquote, what I call that control or that power over you, because then they
right.
can manipulate you and string you along and everything else. Why even do that?
Yep. That's true, because sometimes you just have to walk away. Just get up and walk away and don't look back. You know, but there are some times you can sit down and maybe talk, well, you know, this is why I'm leaving or whatever. But if you can't do that, just get up and go. You ladies have any last closing remarks? We have 4 minutes left, and I'd like to put out there our next week's show is a show about, I wrote a book called You Might Get Lucky, and the book is about a young man who was violated in his youth by his adoptive brother. And I had been trying forever to get a man to come on and to talk about if he's ever been violated. And next week, next Friday, but the show is going to air at 9 o'clock on the 17th at 9 p.m. A young man, well, he's not a young man, but anyway, he was molested by his father, his sister, and his brother. He was raped by his father and his brother. And he's going to be on next week. We're going to be discussing that. He also wrote a book. He's doing very well for himself, but I just needed to talk to a man about these issues, because even though my book is fictional, you know, it still is something that people need to hear about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be on the 17th in the special time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I hope everybody who's listening to the show will come back next week. And if you are a victim of molestation, rape, or any of these horrendous crimes, feel free to call in. And, you know, you can tell us your story that way, because I am a survivor of rape myself. So, you ladies, we have 2 minutes. You have any closing remarks?
I'll say mine real quick. I am a victim of somebody trying to bite my private parts off, but I ain't that. Okay, you know I had to say a funny, but. No.
Inbox me the number for your show and date so I can put it on my calendar and make sure I listen to
you.
Because I'm not
on Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
I go through Mom Dude's page. But, yeah, me and Mom Dude will be on next week. I got a nice little lineup. Monday we'll be on for Celebrity Gossip. But I just want to tell people, when you break up with folks or you're going through a breakup, just move on, Lord. It takes too much time, too much effort.
And that's basically like it. What Delicious said when she said, he told me, I got stuff over there, come get it. And I told him, you know what, just throw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm. Because that's trying to still be a factor up in your life.
That was his reason for getting you over there. And that's what I was talking about when I said you give them that power or control to manipulate you. That may not have even been in their mind, but you opened that door up, and so they stepped into it. So I'm like, when it's over, it's over. Just go. Just part.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be friends. Y'all ain't got to be friends.
Nope. Just okay, part. Ladies, that's the end of the show. I appreciate you calling in, Miss Kane. Rhea, thank you for being my co-host tonight. Everybody have a beautiful weekend. Looking for you guys to come back next Friday, 9 p.m. The show is going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a very interesting show. So call in or come in and listen to the show next Friday. Okay, you guys have a beautiful weekend. Good night.
Good night.
You all have a great weekend. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.